It's not every day my son calls me Pastor Craig, so he has a few other choice names for me too. So it was a crazy week for some of us, even crazier, as for the Kapopo family has a new sound in the house. Louise was over there, very active with helping, and my wife and different people. So today is beautiful, isn't it? And then we had the election, and I'm not going to talk about that. My wife says I need to be neutral. So anyway, we live in a world today with a lot of anxiety. I remember growing up in the 50s, and they talked about what life will be like in the 21st century today. They said it'll be a life of ease and luxury, no stress, relaxation, taking it easy. I'm not sure we see that in our society today in the world. We live in a world where anxiety is running rampant. How do we recognize anxiety in ourselves and others? That's the question we ask. The next picture, you probably can't read some of these, but I'll read them out. Some of the ways we recognize anxiety in ourselves and, you know, where we worry and fear and fret. In procrastination, when we are stressed out, what do we tend to do? We procrastinate. It kind of freezes us. We don't act. We have trouble concentrating. We have trouble thinking about things. We're constantly worrying, constantly thinking about all the different things that might happen. We have trouble breathing. We have trouble taking a deep breath. We're thinking about things so much that we don't breathe. We get headaches. Headaches are a big sign of stress in our lives, so we get stress headaches. Some people have rapid heartbeat, where we're so keyed up about things that our heart starts beating more rapidly. Insomnia, that's a big one. How many people find it difficult to sleep at night because of all the stresses we have in life and all the things that are going on? Memory issues, overthinking, avoidance, sweating. Stomach issues, and a lot of stomach issues are related to stress and anxiety. Panic attacks, needing reassurance and lack of patience. These are all things that are common in our day-to-day. I think if we answer correctly, most of us can identify a few of those things in our life today that we deal with in our own personal lives. We worry, we fret, and that's a big part of life in our 21st century. We worry about the loads that we are carrying or have to carry that are too difficult, too large, too burdensome, too costly, and too time-consuming. And then there's all the worries and stresses about those things that we can't control, things that other people control, and we bear the stress of those. The title of my message today is Do Not Fret. It's taken from Psalm 37. So a question I ask, do you worry about things? My wife tells me I worry too much. How many think your spouses worry too much? Don't put your hands up. But we all, it's part of our culture today, we worry. Maybe we worry about the relationships that we're involved in, or the lack of relationships we're involved in. We worry about our job ending. I remember 10 years ago, I was working for a company and I lost my job. And here you are, living in Vancouver with three kids and a wife and a mortgage, and you watch your bank account going in the negative. And it's stressful. I mean, talk about anxiety. There's a lot of anxiety there. Maybe we worry about our children. Our children can sometimes stress us out a lot. We see them making choices in their lives that are taking them down a path we know which is going to hurt. But we can't do anything about it. Yet we worry about it, don't we? Maybe we worry about that strange lump on our body that just doesn't go away. And we're worried about it. You know, a few years ago, I had really bad back pain and my lower back and legs and everything. And I was, for about 9 months, I was in pain. It hurt when I lay down. It hurt when I sat. It hurt when I went to the bathroom. And I was beginning to really worry. For 9 months, I was worried, well, do I have maybe colon cancer? Do I have something? And I was stressing out over it. And I remember then going to the chiropractor, and within 2 weeks, all the pain was gone. But I worried for 9 whole months about this problem, this ache that I was having and this I want to just throw it out to you here. Maybe the next question I have is, we worry in our day-to-day lives. What are some of the things that you think we worry about or you see other people worrying about? I'll just throw it out to you here. What are some things we have fear, we fret, we have anxiety over this? Throw it out, Gordon. Fear of being asked questions during the sermon. Okay. That's a big one, isn't it? Anyway, public speaking. Okay, public speaking is a fear or anxiety. I remember in school I didn't like public speaking in school, and I remember one girl got up in our class and she was so scared that she couldn't hold her bladder, and that was even more embarrassing for her. Any other fears or anxieties that we face in our society today? Or to depend on others, especially when they sometimes let us down, eh? Yes. Surgery. Yeah, we're fearful that it may not go as planned. Things like that. Any other ones? Teenagers in our lives. Those will do it. Most of us have had teenagers in our lives, so it can be very stressful. Any others? Parenting. Now, what's that?
Parenting.
Parenting, yes. That is definitely stressful. Especially when you have teenagers. Another question I have, what do you think we fret or worry about the most? The past, present, or future? These are all things we worry about. Let's have a show of hands. How many think we worry most about our past? We have one, two, three. Okay. How many of you think we worry about most of the time, we worry most about our present situation? One, two, three, four, five. Okay. And how many think we worry most about the future? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, I think the futures have it. Question I have today is, and I'll be talking a little bit about this, how does fretting over our circumstance affect our view of God? We will be discussing this. And why do we think God commands us not to fret or not to worry or don't be anxious? And those are things I'll be talking about today. In a focus on anxiety, the average person's anxiety is focused 40% on things that will never happen. We worry about 40% of the time, we're worried about things that will never, ever come to pass. 30% of our focus on worry and anxiety is about the past that cannot be changed. We worry about the past, maybe something we did or something somebody else did to us or whatever. We worry about that. But that's the past. We can't change it. 12% of things we worry about are criticism by others. And when other people are quick to say something, and oftentimes we bear the brunt. And 12% of us worry about criticism by others. And most of the time, it's not true. It's just someone's had a bad day and they've taken it out on us. 10% of our worry is about health. We worry about our health because, you know, like I said, you have something's aching or this or that, and you're concerned about your health. But it's very interesting that doctors have proven over and over again, your health gets worse when you stress over it. And many times, our stress about our certain health situation actually makes it worse. And sometimes brings it to pass as we stress over it. And stress is a huge factor in our lives. And finally, 8% worry about real problems that will actually be faced. So 1 in 10 problems are real that we'll actually face. The other 90% of them will never happen to us, or we don't have to stress or worry about. Worry is a daily part of our lives, but when worry becomes all time consuming, it can really hurt us in a big way. David in Psalm 37 gives an exhortation to have patience and to trust him in the midst of worry. In Psalm 37, I'll read verses 1 to 9. David says, "Do not fret because the wicked do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious because of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. These words were written by a king, King David. And yet he wrote these words, and he had great wisdom in saying them too. And he was one that fretted and worried a lot too. Psalm 37 begins with a very clear command: do not fret. And it's easier said than done. Fretting can be defined as being constantly worried or anxious or being in a state of anxiety. We all find ourselves there from time to time, but the problem is when we stay in that environment, that's when it really begins to hurt us physically and mentally, spiritually. After all, there's much we can fret about, isn't there? We can fret about our past. Just because the past is behind us doesn't mean we don't find ways to bring it into the present. Dredging up past mistakes or times others have done us wrong can occupy a lot of mental space in our minds. Mental space and time that we could use to do more productive things. Worry grows and clouds our ability to act. It cripples us. I like this definition. Worry is faith in the negative, trusting in the unpleasant assurance of disaster and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Really powerful saying. I'll read that again. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. You know, a dense fog can cover a city block, like maybe downtown Vancouver, and it's composed of less than one glass of water. It's divided into 60,000 million drops of condensation that clouds over a whole city and basically brings the city to a stop in some ways when it gets really dense. But that's the same thing that worry does to us. We take something very small and it literally brings us to a halt. We don't act. It stops us in our tracks and it hurts us. Have you ever nursed an old scar into a fresh wound? Has a past shortcoming been worked over and over in your mind enough to convince you there's no need to try again? I've done that. You know, you think about something that happened 10 years ago. Well, why try? It's going to just be the same result. And we do that as humans, don't we? The past has a nasty way of accumulating more and more fret that we fret about. Surely we may say it's permissible to fret a little bit about our past. But then you look at that scripture. Do not fret. Do not worry. Do not fear. But wait, there's more. If we somehow find a way not to fret about a past, what about the present? When we wake up in the morning, we're confronted with a barrage of things to worry about. Wouldn't it be wise to fret a little bit over these things that are coming up in the day? Maybe approaching deadlines. Maybe difficult conversations that we're going to have that day. Maybe unavoidable things in that day, appointments that may convince us that a little bit of fretting is okay. It's only for today. We don't want to be naive about it after all. But then again, that saying comes up: do not fret. So that applies to the present. So, okay. So we think, okay, what about if we get our past under control and the present under control? I think we can fret a little bit about the future. Because, after all, it's only the future. Surely it's an area we can have free rein over fretting a little bit about. The possibilities to fret here are endless. I'm not sure about you, but I've found that when I think about the future, I'm one of the most creative people. I think about all these scenarios that can happen. Well, this might happen, and this will probably happen, and that could happen, and that could happen. I'm very good and very creative in those things. Ask my wife. The possibilities are endless. I can imagine all kinds of scenarios that a sane person would have no need to fret over. But surely we can fret a little bit about the future. But then again, that scripture comes up: do not fret. Do not be anxious. And just for a little bit of extra measure, The command, do not fret, is repeated in this psalm, not twice, not once, not twice, but three times. Maybe it's as if it's one for the past, one for the present, and one for the future. So somehow we need to deal with it. So let's look at how David tells us in Psalm 37 how to deal with stress and anxiety. In Psalm 37, we read verse 1 to 2 again, where David says, do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. The psalm begins by acknowledging the temptation we have to fret over the wicked and even to be envious of others. When we look around at the world, we don't have to look very far before we see a lot of things that aren't right, injustices, wrongs, and flat-out evils. We go to workplaces oftentimes where we see unfairness in the job. We see promotions given maybe to people that didn't deserve them because they're friends of the boss. We see preferential treatment given to others. We see that in our lives, in our day-to-day walks. We see favoritism shown to others. And these things all happen. And in many cases, it appears that this is the path to success. Well, we have to maybe get involved and do some of those things. You've heard the old saying that if you can't beat them, join them. And that sounds like good counsel, but it's not wise. The psalmist tells us why we shouldn't fret or be envious. He says it won't last, the scripture, except it won't last. And maybe it's not a good illustration here, but if you look at grass in the fall, most of the time it's brown and dead and dying, especially if you don't water it. In BC, that's not the case, but I grew up in the prairies, and if you were in the Okanagan, come fall time, that grass is all withered. It looks like it's all dead. It's not dead, but it looks that way. It's all brown. And that's what David is saying, that just as the grass withers and dies, so will those people that cause worry and anxiety in our lives. That will all pass. The green grass withers and fades. The two descriptions the psalmist uses pulls on something we all look for. One thing we all look for is permanence, don't we? We don't want to be part of something that will be here today and gone tomorrow. We want to contribute to something that is lasting, don't we? That is why, in some ways, death is such a devastating enemy to us. Because we want what we do to be permanent. Look, if we hitch our wagon to the wickedness and doing, you know, what the worry and envious of what the wicked do to us, then it will be a short life. Nothing lasts forever. In the next four verses of Psalm 37, David says, trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Here David gives us something we can do in place of fretting and worrying. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. And that's something that's very difficult to do when we're stressed out and anxious about something. We tend not to do good. We tend to do nothing. We tend to freeze. We tend to stop in our tracks and we don't act. And that's what fear, anxiety, and worry does to us. Now we're coming to see how we can stop fretting. It's by knowing the one who is faithful, the one whom we put our trust in. We typically only fret about things we don't trust will turn out for the good or for the good of others. I think most of us can say we don't fret over whether the sun is going to rise tomorrow, do we? And we don't fret, will the sun come up tomorrow? That's not something we fret over. We go to sleep and we assume that tomorrow morning the sun will rise and sun will come up. It might be behind clouds if we're living in Vancouver, but it will still come up. God wants us to know that, David here says, he wants us to know that the Lord is faithful. Everything else may let us down, things in the past, present, and future. But the Lord has been faithful to us in the past. He will be faithful to us in the present, and he will be faithful to us in the future. We have his word at that. The gospel we celebrate today is that God's own Son, Jesus, is the faithfulness of the Father given to us in our past, present, and future. No matter how dark the night, how big the problem we're facing, this Son will always rise, bringing us into his light. Jesus Christ will always be there helping us through it. And that's something we find it hard to understand. So this command about not fretting is not arbitrary or random, but rather it springs from God's promise, the promise of God's faithfulness. God tells us to not fret because He's taken it upon Himself to do away with all wrongdoing and setting things right in His own time. As children, we live in and trust in God, and we can exchange fretting with doing good. The evil we see around us and even the wrongdoing we may have to endure for a little while will not last. That will fade. It is a good life of a promised land that we've been brought into through Jesus Christ. We could go so far as to say that Jesus is the promised land the Father has brought us into, our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's in Him we live and enjoy security, and our provision for permanence is through Him that we long for. I remember reading this scripture in Psalm 37:4 when I was a single guy at college and university, and I was not sure. I was looking for that special lady in my life, and they didn't seem to pan out. I went through a lot of different relationships, and none of them seemed to work. Until I remember my wife came along, but I remember bringing this scripture to God many times in my life, saying, God, help me to delight in You and leave it in Your hands. And when we take our fears, our worries, our life to Him and leave it in His hands and move on with our life, He would carry our life for us. And that's what I thought about anyway. But anyway, I want to refer to another scripture here found in Philippians 4:6 that Gordon talked about in his benediction last week. It says here, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, here is another charge, a command to not be anxious about anything. Not one thing. It says, well, it doesn't say, well, you can be anxious about this or that or that. It says, don't be anxious about anything. That's very explicit. And humanly speaking, this book was written to the Philippian church, who had a lot to worry about. They were suffering persecution, severe persecution in the church at that time. And Paul says, do not be anxious. They were facing disturbance in the church, disunity and quarreling. Members who were prideful, superficial, and self-centered, they were facing false teachers. And many of the believers also struggled with the necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. And there goes Paul saying, don't be worried, don't be anxious about anything. And he's telling them that. Humanly, a person is going to fret, and we do this often, when we either face a lack of food, clothing, or shelter, when we don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow. And I think about some of the stories of people that have come over from Africa, and some of the stresses like these people have faced, them, the immigrants, where they don't know where the food is going to come from tomorrow, but they trust in God that it will come. It's tough. We worry when we're fretted. We fret and worry when we're persecuted, ridiculed, abused, or threatened. That often causes a lot of worry in our life when somebody, picks on us and hurts us, persecutes us, criticizes us. And we worry when we're surrounded by quarrels, disturbance, carnality, and false teaching. So these were all things that the Philippians had to face. So again, this the saying, as it says here, don't worry, be anxious for nothing. For God will enable the believer to conquer fear and worry and anxiety. God will overcome the trials of life for the believer, no matter how terrible. And I want to mention one thing. There's a big difference, brethren, between concern and worry and anxiety. There's a big difference. We are to have concern, but there's a difference between worry and anxiety, how it's different. Let me explain how it is different. Concern drives us to arise and tackle the problems of life that come our way. It's not inactive. Concern makes us want to attack and charge into the problem with courage and diligence. Concern drives us to tackle and conquer all that we can handle. That's what concern does. Worry, on the other hand, anxiety and fretting causes all kinds of problems. First, the biggest one is the fear to act. When we're really stressed out, what do we do the most? We want to crawl into a hole and not act and not do anything. Another problem with worry and fretting, it's different from concern. We withdraw. We withdraw. And what happens when we go through really difficult situations in our life? The tendency is to crawl in a hole and pity ourselves or want us to pity us. We hesitate. Another one is cowardice, depression, discouragement. What's some of the biggest problems in our society today? Depression, discouragement. Those are huge in our culture today. A defeatist attitude, quick unplanned action. Oftentimes when we're stressed or worried or fretting over something, we don't respond in a good way. We respond almost in an angry way. And what ends up happening, it hurts ourselves and it hurts others. Also, unwise and harmful decisions are made. Another huge one, and like I mentioned before, was physical sickness and infirmities. One of the biggest things with worry and fear and anxiety, doctors say today as much as 80% of all illnesses are caused by stress, worry, and anxiety. That's a huge factor. So there's another reason not to fret and worry. Causing emotional problems, spiritual, physical, spiritual backsliding, distrust, and unbelief. So there is a big difference between concern and worry and anxiety. As believers, how we handle those things will make a big difference. And as believers, we need to take whatever is bothering us, go to God in prayer, lay it down at the feet of Jesus and say, God, I can't handle this. Leave it in His hands. And we know if we're taking it to Him, He's going to handle it better than we can ever handle it anyway. And we know that the outcome is going to be for our good. Martin Luther, in his autobiography, said that, I have one preacher I love better than any other. It is a little tame robin who preaches to me daily. I put these crumbs on my windowsill at night. And in the morning he hops onto the sill when he wants his supply, takes as much as he desires to satisfy his need. From there, he hops to a little tree close by, lifts up his voice to God, and sings a carol of praise and gratitude. Then he tucks his little head under his wings, goes to sleep, to leave tomorrow to look after itself. So simple. Too bad we couldn't do that. You know, God gives us what we need for today. And we probably all read the scripture in Matthew. I'll just read it here, Matthew 26, 25 to 33. Therefore, I think I got the wrong, or 6, 25, 23. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, with all his money and splendor, was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not so much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows what you need. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you. You know, when we look at creation around us, we look at the birds, we look at the flowers. You know, God knows when one hair falls from your head. He knows when a bird falls to the ground. And he's concerned with these things. And yet, does he not have a much greater love for you and I when he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be killed and murdered and sacrificed on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins? So when you really think about it, what God has done through Jesus Christ, he's concerned, so concerned about every one of us. And so when we take our burdens and lay them down at his feet, he wants to help us. He's not there to, you know, push our buttons and see how much pain we have. He's there wanting to help us, and he's there with us, so we don't have to worry, fret. I'd like to read the story of two eternities. There are 2 days in every week about which we should worry, 2 days which should be kept free from apprehension. One of these days is yesterday, with its mistakes and cares, its aches, pains, its faults and blunders. Basically, that's our life. It's full of aches, pains, and blunders, isn't it? Yesterday has passed away beyond our control. All the money in the world cannot bring back yesterday. We cannot erase a single word we said or what we did. The other day we should worry about is tomorrow, with its possible adversaries, its burdens, its large promise and performance. Tomorrow always is beyond our immediate control. Tomorrow's sun will either rise in splendor or behind a mask of clouds, but it will rise. And until it does, we have no stake in tomorrow, for it is yet unborn. That leaves only one day. Any man can face the battles of just one day. It is only when we add the burdens of those two awful eternities, yesterday and tomorrow, that we're liable to break down. A really, really excellent message from... This was actually a saying that was written in the Illinois Medical Journal. And again, medicine, the medical world realizes and knows how terrible stress and anxiety is on our lives. So let's go back to Psalm 37 again. In Psalm 37, 7 to 9. Here David says, "Be still before the Lord and wait anxious and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land." When we read these passages in the light of God's promise in Jesus, we understand them as not descriptions of reality, but rather they are prescriptions for potentiality. In other words, it's not taking delight in the Lord that obligates the Father to give you the desires of your heart. But when we take delight in the Lord, we find that He is truly the one our heart desires. C.S. Lewis captured the thought quite well, and listen to how he explains the connection between command and reality. He says that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we shall know that these are the same thing. Fully to enjoy is to glorify. And in commanding us to glorify Him, God is inviting us to enjoy Him. So we are invited to be in a relationship of communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a special privilege and a blessing that can change our life forever. So instead of seeing our doing as an obedience that conditions God to act, we do good as an act of faith in the goodness of God. We are created to be lovers of God and lovers of one another. This is the delightful life we are given to participate in. This is the good we can do in place of fretting over the wrongs that have been done us and the wrongs we see around us. As we commit our ways to the Lord, we do so by trusting that He is the God who acts, setting everything right. And evil, all the wrong that is around us and done to us, that will all fade away as quickly as the grass dies. So one thing we need to remember, when we fret, we forget. We forget that God is just and righteous. We forget that He is setting things right according to His character and heart. When we fret, we forget that evil doesn't triumph in the end. When we fret, we run the risk of acting out of anger. And like I said, many times when we fret and worry and are anxious, we act out of impulse and we do things that later we regret. So whatever wrong or evil we have been assaulted with, don't fret, because this is not lasting. And when you find worry or anxiety rising this coming week in our lives, pull out Psalm 37 again and read it. Maybe take another translation. There's many different translations that can be written to more our common day language. And be reminded that God is in control, that Jesus can be trusted. And I'd like to just close with this illustration here. It doesn't say who the author is. I didn't know who it was. But worry is not seen in the creation around us. When we look at God's creation, we don't see a creation that is stressed out. Maybe if man gets involved in it, it's stressed out when we put our pollution in it, but God didn't create things that way. So far as is known, no bird ever tried to build more nests than its neighbor. Yet we try to build bigger nests than our neighbor. No fox ever fretted because he had only one hole in the earth in which to live and hide. No squirrel ever died in anxiety lest he should not lay up enough nuts for 2 years instead of one. And no dog ever lost sleep over the fact that he did not have enough bones buried in the ground for his declining years. That's a good one. So there's many things in the creation around us to remind us, do not fret, do not worry. And we have a wonderful God who will see us through it. I'd like to just close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, our Creator, we come before you at this time. Thank you, God, for your love for us, your guidance in our lives. Many times we don't fully understand your love for us, and we worry and we fret and we stress over the situations that come our way. But help us to take those to you and lay them down at your feet and let you fight our battles. Let you handle those concerns and those worries and those fears, whatever happened in our past, whatever is going on in our present, and whatever the future may hold. Because we know when we do that, things will work out as you want them to. We leave them in your hands, and help us to use our time instead, Father, to do good, to love, to carry on as you want us to. Thank you for all this now, and we ask a blessing on the meal we're about to have. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.